Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, could an ominous building number of an apartment have something to do with the dark encounters being experienced within its walls? Could that number be an invite for evil entities to enter its doors? That's what we're going to talk about today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now. 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Write in your ghost story. realghoststoriesonline.com is the website. This program primarily supported by you guys. And for that, you get a lot of extras. You get advanced episodes ad-free and a bonus episode every single week. If you're what we call an EPP, an extra podcast person, you sign up to become one at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the content there. Or if you prefer using Patreon, they got the great app and all that. Go to patreon.com/realghoststories and sign up there. $5 a month gets you access to all that on top of all those great weekly extras. You get a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book, which is for sale on Amazon, wherever books are sold, for like $14-$15. So that's included. Value's right there. You also get the audiobook as well, which is also up on Audible and all that. That's included as well. So you get a lot of perks immediately when you sign up as a extra podcast person. Plus, there's like almost 300 EPP bonus episodes. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you again. And how are you today, Carol?
Good, Tony. I feel like signing up.
Isn't it? And if you call now, I've been wanting to say this for a long time.
You throw in a set of knives.
Not only that, but you're also going to get this juicer and four free kittens of your choice.
Oh, no, you had me at kittens.
We're going to dye them any color you want, and we're going to send them to you in this lovely collectible box that has murals of every president and disaster of the last 50 years on it, and a collector's coin as well that you cannot live without, plus this decorative plate that you can put on your wall. So all of that and more. Actually, none of that's included. So don't anybody.
But what I really want, Tony,
yeah,
is what I saw yesterday, because I know this is airing a few weeks down the road.
Yeah.
But in real life right now, the mm-hmm. Super Bowl was just yesterday, mm-hmm. and they had a chess set with current Democrats and Republicans. So you got Donald Trump and Mike Pence and Mitch McConnell and all those guys on one side. Then on the other side, you got, you know, your Adam Schiff and that gang, Nancy Pelosi. But you get two new players once they decide who the candidate and the vice president will be.
Wow. Could you imagine?
$39.95.
Could you imagine?
What the hell? I'd never heard of that.
Just having that thing out at like a family gathering, like break it out at Easter or break it out at the holidays. Hey, let's get the political chess set out because God knows the conversations at dinner are going well. Hey, how about this? Jesus.
Yeah. So, it's a battle for the White House 2020 chess set.
Why not just like get a bunch of weapons and put the people's names on it and hand it out to family members?
Oh, it represents all three branches. So the Supreme Court must be on that too.
Oh my God.
So you know, like you could be getting that this year.
I just don't
because
talk.
Because for $39.95, I know several people who would love it, you included.
Jesus. It's one of those things where you just can't talk about anymore with family or anybody unless you know that you're on the same page because...
So, but now if you, like, you're a Democrat and your father-in-law is a Republican, this uh-huh. is hypothetical, don't anybody assume anything.
Yeah.
but then you could, like, battle it out with your chess pieces.
Rather than fists.
Yeah. You could say, let's take it to the chessboard, Dad. But I was like, oh my God, I got to like just buy that for some people.
That is crazy. That is absolutely crazy.
Only to see their reaction. I think it would be funny, funny, funny.
That would end in disaster. But sounds interesting and exciting nonetheless.
I'd pay you $20 a month.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, my name is Cicely, and I live in Chicago. Grew up in a matriarchal household that was very open to the ideas of spirituality and witchcraft. I was always very open, and my cousins and I all had paranormal experiences growing up. When I was about 15, I started to have episodes of sleep paralysis. They'd usually happen only once a month, and even though I had the scientific explanation for it, I still felt like there was a sort of darkness surrounding me. I saw several mediums and psychics who told me I had an attachment. They taught me mantras and practices to help me get rid of this thing that followed me. Eventually, my sleep paralysis episodes ended. Jumped to my mid-20s a few years ago. I was living in the West Village of New York for a few months for work. My boyfriend would frequently stay with me while working remotely, but this time I was on my own. I was subletting a friend's place from her to finish out her lease after she moved in with her boyfriend. The address was, I kid you not, 666 and then street name. It was one of those old historic archive buildings that had been renovated into loft-style apartments. The bedroom was up on the open second floor, which had a staircase leading to it. I was getting ready for bed one night, and I locked the chain and deadbolt per usual, then texted my boyfriend, good night, right before setting my phone on the nightstand and rolling over to sleep. What felt like seconds later, I heard the chain slowly slide open and knock on the door. Then the deadbolt unlocked. I could hear the door open and then close. I could hear slow, deliberate steps, which sounded like men's boots coming closer and closer. They started coming up the stairs one by one. When I heard the boots hit the top step, all of a sudden, a tall, slender, black figure appeared from around the corner of the doorway. This whole time, I couldn't move, speak, or scream. It felt like my sleep paralysis had come back, but it was different this time. I didn't feel like I was half in a dreamlike state. I was hyper aware. The figure moved toward me on the side of the bed, towering over me. Its limbs were long and inhuman. After standing there watching me for a few seconds, it moved slowly from the side of the bed to the foot of the bed while I followed it with my eyes. Suddenly, its limbs grew and internally rotated. think Exorcism of Emily Rose style, as it crawled into bed. I started to repeat my mantra over and over as I envisioned the white light surrounding me, then poof, it was gone. I was in total freak out mode. Grabbed my phone to call my boyfriend, checked our text, and it had been 2 minutes since I sent that goodnight text. This was different than any of my other sleep paralysis experiences. I did not sleep for the rest of the night. There you go. That's one way to end an evening.
If I had written that letter, the end of it would have read, "And I didn't sleep ever again."
I don't know that I could stay in a place like that.
No. Like, even if I was able to get out of there, I still wouldn't be able to sleep normally, like, for a long time.
No.
That's something that would F you up.
I'm always waiting for, and then, you know, I was totally freaked out, but then the reaction and the actions that took place were, and then I, you know, checked text messages and I went to bed. Like, really? Because I would be going to the Days Inn down the road or any place, really, that had a vacancy sign and barricading myself in a room and pouring salt outside the door. I mean, I don't know how I would handle it. Although, sometimes when you're in those moments, hindsight, I guess, can be 20/20. You don't really know how to react or what to do as you're going through it. And maybe that's a blessing sometimes. Otherwise, there'd be a lot more of that.
Into bed.
Yeah. I couldn't stay there.
What?
You're burning those sheets.
Yeah, like, there's no way I could sleep in that house. I'm thinking, like, because the next night I would just lay there all night thinking it happened, and the night after that, and the night after that. Like, yeah. I don't think I could get that out of my head.
No.
For a really long time. That's crazy.
Yeah. I had sleep paralysis one time in my life. And I'm just trying to look back and try and put myself in their shoes a bit of, like, well, how did I handle anything similar? I did put the covers over my head, and eventually I fell asleep. So I guess I can't criticize too much because I didn't go and freak out too much that night. I was scared to death, but I didn't run away. I think sometimes it's like you're almost afraid of what's outside of that room, too. I think that might be part of it.
Because I've had it happen before, and it's that weird, I got to wake up. Let me wake up. I am awake. I'm awake, and this is happening. And then it's like, no, I'm really not awake.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I finally am awake, I'm really, really, really scared. But, like, I'll convince myself that was just some freaky dream or something like that. But, like, in that situation, it didn't feel like that.
Yeah. Your mind's going to try and make sense of things no matter what. And sometimes,
I'm telling you, at my house with all the animals, there wouldn't be no long-limbed freako getting in bed with me because there ain't no room.
But sometimes, though, could you, having all the animals and pets and everything like that, if you do
one
hear...
One dog and two cats. I might have made it sound worse, but still, it's a queen-size bed.
Four king cobras and seven kangaroos. But could it, having all the animals and stuff... Sometimes if you hear a weird or unexplained noise, have you ever just said, oh, it's the animals? Even though you really didn't know for sure, but that was a more comforting thing to tell yourself than investigate.
I have done that, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, it happens.
Because I used to, like, my dog didn't used to sleep on my bed until he got really old. Mm-hmm. And now I kind of prefer him up there so I can keep kind of an eye on him.
Sure.
Because he's really old.
Yeah.
But, yeah, back in the day, it's like, well, that's what that had to have been. You know, the cats running around or something.
Yeah.
But I didn't, like, there wasn't a long-limbed freaky thing getting in bed with me. Like, I can't get my brain around that one.
That one kind of takes the cake of what the hell. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us, or write in Real Ghost Stories Online. .com. Go to our next letter, and it says, when I was about 4 years old, we were eating dinner, and my mom told me to finish her peas. Well, I hate peas, but I scooped them up on my spoon, and there was only one spoonful left on my plate, so as I had the spoon in the air and was going to eat them, I noticed something to the left of me, just a little bit below me, so I turned to look to see what was next to me. I saw red glowing eyes, and this thing had horns, and his face was like long with a pointed chin and goatee. It didn't scare me to look at it, but what did scare me was when I turned my head back around to see my peas and eat them. The peas were gone. I remember looking on the plate and the floor and the table thinking I dropped them, but they weren't there. They were gone. I never saw them again, for which I was glad. I guess as I didn't scare me for some reason. My guess, the devil? I have also had other things happen, but we'll tell them another time, except in the house I saw another devil-like creature in my mom's area. My mom told me this when I was older. She would see this lady dressed in black with a veil on, had no face, it was all black, and she would stand in the corner of the kitchen and motion her hand and index finger to come here. That scared me when she told us. Another time, when my now ex-husband was still, we were still together, I was putting away laundry. I had socks in my hand and turned to put them in the drawer. I put them in the drawer, but they stuck out of the drawer just a little bit. I had left it. When I turned back around to the laundry on the other bed, the drawer slammed shut and the socks were in the drawer at that point. Nothing that happened in a different house with my now ex-husband. I was in the bedroom reading and he was in the living room. And he said the door in the kitchen opened up and closed by itself. I would stand in the kitchen doing dishes and could never see the bar into the living room, and I would see the rocking chair rock back and forth by itself. The thing that happened was a doorbell rang, and I went over to the door and opened it, but there was no one there. When I opened the door, something walked through me. It was ice cold. That didn't scare me. The toilet seat in the master bedroom would go up and down by itself. I'd go in there, and my husband would be at work, and the seat would be up after I was in there, us for a while ago, and it would be back down. Last thing that would happen, there was a water faucet in the kitchen that would turn off and on by itself. We finally moved and nothing happened again. Love the show. Keep the stories coming. We've been listening for a while now. So there you go. The lesson there, demons like peas.
Well, because it was he or she, I didn't catch if that was a guy or girl with the letter. Let's say she was four, and you don't always remember really well what happened when you were four. So if she's eating peas and looked over and saw a demon, chances are she had a four-year-old little scream and the peas went everywhere. Like, the peas could end up in the next room.
Sure.
Because it scared her to death. Because how would that not scare you? Like, if I was eating peas and I saw a demon, like, the peas would be, like, everything on my plate would be upended.
I mean, you gotta wonder about that, though, a little bit.
Unless it's a demon that like peas.
Sometimes kids,
I'm coming to eat your peas.
Sometimes kids' reactions will not be what you expect, because we, in our mind, we know what a quote-unquote demon looks like, or what the atypical one, devil-like creature. And if suddenly we saw that as an adult, I think sometimes the likelihood of the adult having the holy shit jump out of your chair reaction is a lot higher than that of maybe a four-year-old or younger, because sometimes they just may look at something and go, never seen that before. Is that a new pet? Because they don't know, especially if it's never been presented to them in any sort of negative fashion. If they've never seen a devil, or they've never seen anything that's negative or in that light, it's just another thing until it's defined as to what this is. When we're told this is a scary thing, I mean, it's one thing if it's grotesque and it looks like it's missing eyeballs and mangled. Anyone could be startled by that. But if it's just kind of devil-like, I don't know. It's like, that's a red cartoon character. And
yeah, but it's the pea thing. Like, yeah. If maybe she'd seen a demon, was eating a piece of pie, turned around, the pie was gone. But peas could disappear so easy. They're tiny. Yeah,
that's like, true.
It's hard to keep them on a spoon or a plate when you're not visited by a demon.
You really that's believe the I demon think. Didn't eat the peas, though. You're thinking, demon, peas not good enough for it. My big question is, were they canned peas, or were they fresh peas, or frozen peas? Because there's a big difference there in what.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love.
Maybe the little four-year-old and her didn't really want the peas.
Yeah.
And this is the way she remembers getting rid of the peas.
Demons.
You know, that's when you used to just feed that stuff to your dog. Like, I don't want to eat this, but you will. Here, buddy.
I love fresh peas. I love picking peas from the garden and eating them. I even frozen peas are fine. I don't mind frozen peas, but the canned peas, those are the work of the devil. They're
mushy.
They're disgusting.
There you go. It was the devil showed up and said, "I am so sorry. You have to eat those shitty peas."
If there's one thing that should never be canned,
I'm gonna take them away from you.
Yeah. One thing that should never, ever be canned, it's peas. That's just, it's a disgusting abomination of food. And I don't understand, have you ever had mushy peas like the English do the mushy peas? It's almost
I've had mushy peas.
Now, is that from canned peas or do they just mush up like fresh peas?
I don't know. I would think canned would make it easier.
It would.
You mushy.
That's just disgusting. I can't do it.
So when in that letter, it was like when she heard the doorbell and opens the door and the thing went right through her. Did she say after that she wasn't scared or did she say she was?
She wasn't scared when the cold thing went through.
That's so weird to me.
Yeah.
I would have been scared to death. Unless it was like really, really, really cold outside. I opened the door. It's like, "Woo, it's cold." And you shut it. The wind just went right through me. Because sometimes you say that, but like literally it did.
That
would be really scary.
I'm getting chill thinking about it. I randomly shiver. There's nothing wrong with me. I've done this my entire life. But I've had people like, "What's wrong with you?" I'm like, "I don't know, I just shiver. Sometimes I just get a chill out of nowhere." And now I'm like thinking, is that something?
Is there something entering me and leaving me? That would scare me.
Yeah. I don't know. I just do it at random.
And I think that would be a very distinct feeling.
I would think it'd feel different if something's going through you. I felt that before. And that was my...
You know, it can get really cold. And that's one thing. But it's another thing to open the door and it's summer.
Yeah.
And it's like, "Woo! What the hell was that? Just went right through me."
That would be bizarre.
That would scare me.
Thanks for sharing that or those stories. 855-853-4802. Our number, The Real Ghost Stories Online. Another letter. It says, "My family and I had recently moved from Florida into a renovated cottage in the countryside of Northern Ireland. We were just beginning to settle in and feel comfortable with the creaks and groans of a different house when I noticed that during the night, I would often be stirred by a bluish flash of light, which was like a camera flash close to my closed eyelids. It began to happen regularly, and as soon as it was normal enough that even my no-nonsense husband had seen it. One evening, after I had settled the girls to bed and finally climbed into bed myself, I heard a faint tapping sound coming vaguely from the direction of my husband's side of the bed. It was like the noises some machines make if they vibrate leaning up against a wall. Could have been the water heater left on, the pump which circulated hot water through the radiators in my fireplace, or any number of things. My grumpy husband pointed this out and told me it was too late to be talking about it. The tapping steadily grew louder and went from once every 5 seconds to every two or so, and I couldn't just go to sleep without figuring out what it was. Despite his insistence that he didn't care, he dutifully got out of bed and started listening to the walls and helping me figure out where the pipes were, etc. During the process, we pulled the bedside drawers away from the wall, and the noise grew louder and more insistent. By this time, both my husband and I were quite convinced it was more than a pipe and were quite horrified to realize the noise was clearly coming from the drawers, now standing freely behind us. At this point, I was desperately hoping that a mobile phone was vibrating in a drawer or something. But sadly, the phones were accounted for and plugged into their chargers. We opened the drawers and found nothing. All the while, the sound continued to come from the back of the unit. So in desperation, my husband ripped it off. There was a sudden speed up in the vibratory quality, making it sound more like a low vocal growl. And then it stopped. We put the room back together, and now I'm sure I'll never get to sleep. I asked him, "What do you think it means?" "I don't care. I just want to go to sleep," he said. There's one. Still kind of an unsolved mystery where you have the sound, you can never identify what the hell is going on. Those are the worst. Even if it's not paranormal, it's still like, what? It just drives you nuts.
But not her husband. That part kind of cracked me up.
Yeah.
He's like, "Okay, fine, I'll investigate." And then that happens. He's like, "I just want to sleep.
I give up." But at some point, you're just tired and you give up, you know?
But then I would never sleep. We have a theme going here today. Like, yeah. I don't know how you fall asleep after that. It's like, okay, it's coming from the drawers. Okay, now I don't know what happened. You know, like, because there's nothing they could have done that would have stopped a noise like that. There shouldn't be a noise like that.
Even, and that would be an easier one to investigate than, like, in your wall or something. You know, empty out the drawer, and but still you find no evidence. You gotta be like, what the hell? I don't know what that could possibly... I'm just trying to think. Well, I can think of things people put in drawers that vibrate. But if you've narrowed all of that down and there's no toys going nuts and no batteries are shorting out, I guess I don't know.
I don't know, because remember a while back when it happened to me and there was that knocking in my wall? It was like knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it was.
I was gonna say. Never,
well, I better knock, knock, knock. I would. Hasn't happened again since. But I don't know what it was. And it's just like, it sounded like somebody just knocking on the wall. Like, mm-hmm. knock, knock, knock. So I'm like, that's not a raccoon. I don't know what it is.
We had one at our house in Wichita in the kitchen. And it was an internal wall. It didn't even back up to, like, the outside where you could kind of think,
yeah, this one was an internal wall, too. Yeah. It was between the living room and the bedroom.
And so I was like, well, what the... And it wasn't a knock, but it was a clicking. It was a really high-pitched clicking that would happen. And we couldn't account for why. It wasn't like we were flipping a light switch and it's happening. We would just be in the other room and all of a sudden you hear this click a few times in the wall. And I was getting concerned because I'm thinking it's electrical related and there's something. So we got an electrician out there that night, actually. But I think what I did was I posted it on Facebook that night because I was still working at the radio station. And so I had a ton of followers that were from the radio station. And one of our listeners actually there reached out to me and said, her husband's an electrician. He's getting home late from work. I can have him stop over if you would like. And he did. And it was great. He was really nice. Came over, took a look. He's like, took his meter, tested all the outlets. He's like, I'm not getting anything, you know, nothing seems to be shorting out here. Or is like, I have no idea. We never did figure out what the hell it was. And it kind of went on about until the time we moved. So God knows if it's still going on.
What the hell?
Yeah. I mean, aside from ripping your wall apart, and even then you rip your wall out and then you go, well, wait for the click and it doesn't click again. So I have no idea what that sound ever was, but those are the worst where you just don't know. And I don't think it was paranormal related, but it was still, it was an unsolved mystery in your house that just, you want to figure that shit out. Things that shouldn't be happening in your house are never good, especially if you can't identify what or why. That shit drove me
then
nuts.
It just, in my case, it just quit on its own.
Well,
and
with you,
and it turned up like I got out earphones and I'm listening to white noise and mm-hmm. I turned the fans on high just to block it out.
And your answer really is just your house is haunted, but it's
no,
not
it's
haunted.
Not.
So and that's probably the explanation.
It's not a haunted house.
I should have from the beginning started keeping a tally of all the things that you've talked about in your house. So every time you're like, it's not a haunted house. Okay, let's go back to the list.
I really don't think it is.
I don't know that it is or so much that there's something with you that maybe either you're sensitive more than others or there's something or somebody that following around and every once in a while makes itself known, either purposely or accidentally.
Like I got the wall, Carol.
Yeah. The house isn't haunted. Carol's haunted.
I'm haunted. Because I really do not think the house is.
No.
Because it just doesn't have that feeling to it. You know, like when it is, when you do walk into someplace like that, there's this feeling that, and I can't really describe it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a heaviness, that feeling that somebody's watching you that you can't see necessarily. It's just a feeling that I get, and I don't have that here.
And I tease you about it, but you would know that much better than I would with obviously growing up in the house that you did. So I can't argue.
But I do think that weird shit happens to me.
Sure.
Yes.
No. I think
I'll agree with that part.
Yeah, I understand. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do a call before we wrap it up for the day.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jennifer from Austin, Texas again. I wanted to call in and tell you about a house that I grew up in San Antonio. We moved there when I was 5 years old, and my mom's brother had killed himself. Maybe about a year before, and a lot of spooky things happened in that house, but apparently my mom had told my dad that, you know, he'd appeared to her in a master bedroom. So basically when you walked into the house, there was three bedrooms all in a row. It was the first bedroom, which my brother stayed in, the middle bedroom, which was the smallest, which I stayed in, and then the master bedroom, obviously, where my parents stayed. And you know, he thought, you know, she was sick or going crazy, until one day they were laying in bed. My dad, as a second or third job, he always had multiple jobs. He came home, and this ball of light came out of the kitchen, or I'm sorry, out of the bathroom in the master bedroom, excuse me. And I remember 2 weeks later us moving into another house, and, you know, my parents weren't well off at all, and it was a huge thing for us to move to another house, to take a second mortgage. I remember us trying to sell the house. Again, I was like 5 to 10 years old. We had relatives stayed there, people staying there, and eventually when I was 10 years old, we had to move back into the house. But my mom refused to stay in that master bedroom. So I remember my dad built a room addition on the other side of the house, and my brother moved into the master bedroom. I moved into the first bedroom where he used to stay, and the middle bedroom was just a junk room. And I had weird things happen. My sheets would get pulled off my face, because I would always sleep with the covers over my face. I had a fish tank in my room. I was always scared. My door was always opening up by myself, and I was old enough that my brother told me when we were younger, when we first moved in that house, that people would pull on his toes. Anyways, my brother was staying in the master bedroom, which was the most activity. He was sleeping in my parents' bedroom. This is when he was in high school. He would sleep in my parents' bedroom. He refused to sleep in that house. And then, my parents got divorced 3 years later, and, my brother took the room addition that my parents had moved into, and my dad moved back into the master bedroom. And a few years passed, and then finally my brother moved out and I took the master bedroom. And it was weird. It was like a residual energy would always be in there, but it would stop at the door. It was very strange, but one of the things that I wanted to tell most about was I was studying in my room, and my dad had tiled the entire house. And I remember you could hear my dad shuffling. He wore these Adidas flip-flops, and you can hear him shuffling to the door. And I remember studying, and all of a sudden I just heard this loud knock at my bedroom door. And I knew it wasn't my dad. Yes, I was enthralled and, you know, studying, but I didn't hear him. And honestly, my dad, he would knock and just open the door. He never just knocked and not said anything. And I knew it wasn't him. So I didn't say anything. I just sat there and didn't say anything. He didn't come in. And it was just a really creepy experience. We finally moved out of that house. And I always dream about it. Super weird. And anyway, that's my ghost story. I've been at EPP since 2015. I love y'all, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Creepy story of a house growing up that was haunted. Thoughts?
It's a creepy story.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, when there's a knock and she didn't go answer it, like, what if she would have? Because she knew better than to go answer it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it didn't knock again. And that's one of those things, like, when you're studying or you're lost in a book or you're a million miles away daydreaming about something and you hear a knock, that's what kind of, you're like, yes. And then to have that awareness that there was a knock, but she didn't go see, which I think was good. That was a good decision. But why did she move into the master bedroom?
I don't know.
I don't get it. It's like, that's where all the activity is. And it's like, well, now that my brother's moved out, I'm going to take that haunted room.
I think sometimes we just want to prove to ourselves that our logical reasoning is going to outsmart whatever paranormal things have been going on. And
I should say, if it's a really cool room, like with its own bathroom, and you're a teenager.
Sure.
And you've never had a cool room with your own bathroom. Yeah.
Bring on the devil. I want the bathroom. Yeah. That seems about right. That seems about teenage reasoning to me right there. It's like, I don't care if there's, you know, I'm surrounded by predators and there's all this. I want that if I get the extra bedroom. You know, it's just all sorts of weird.
I mean, what part of her parents building on another bedroom because her mom didn't want to sleep in that room didn't soak in?
No.
Like, her brother was sleeping in her parents' room as a teenager. You think some of that would have been like a warning to her.
You'd think, but, you know.
Bathroom, my own bathroom.
Hindsight's 2020.
Absolutely.
That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, become an extra podcast person, EPP, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Follow us on social media. You're on Instagram at Carol Hughes, correct?
Yes, okay. Just Carol Hughes.
All right, I'm at Tony Bruschi, Bruski. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.